Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is that time of year again, tax time. No one likes to think about it, but it's an unpleasant reality. So you need to get ready if you haven't filed yet. What do you need to do and what do you need to know ahead of the upcoming filing deadline? Well, Theodore Prelo, Teddy the Tax Man, is back to save you from any headaches Uncle Sam has in store. If you have a question or a comment about your taxes, give us a call right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Teddy, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely wonderfully, Harold. You?
That depends.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
Yeah, that depends on what happens later this month. I think the best part of this tax season is that do I have this right? Do we have a couple of days before we need to file?
The 18th now. So it's April 18th. That's the filing deadline. But I got to address this.
What's
there
that?
There are people, Harold, and I know this is going to astonish you. You're going to be astonished by this. There are people who have not filed their 2018 tax returns. If you are expecting to get a refund, please talk to your tax advisor, because I would prioritize the 2018. If you file the 2018 after this deadline, and you were originally due a refund, the IRS is going to send you a too bad, so sad letter. And it's complicated in regards to that deadline for that 2018 return.
Isn't it always? So why is that?
It is because April, the deadline falls on the 18th this year, but the laws say, you can file for an amended 2018 if you're expecting a refund, or the original 18 if you're expecting a refund. But the filing deadline is not necessarily going to be April 18th. And it's complicated. It could be April 15th. It could be July 7th, August 1st. It really depends on your situation. So you've got to go in, talk to your tax advisor, and say, hey, look, regarding my 2018 tax return, what do I need to do? And he or she will address it appropriately. The possibilities are endless, so I can't even go into them right now.
Talk to me a little bit about the impact that the pandemic has had and continues to have on filing.
As you well know, the IRS has millions of tax returns that have yet to be even opened. And I'm not even counting, I said tax returns, who knows how many other pieces of mail are in there, in their facilities. We don't know. And I'm not going to jump all over the IRS, because they've had problems just like the next business had problems, like the cell phone company or the postal service or whatever. They've had their share of problems just like the rest of the businesses who had to suffer through COVID. It's just that, I would like to think, and I would like to hope, that they're going to be a little less demanding of people when people are filing late. That's my thought.
I do remember when I filed last year that because I owed, Lord have mercy, that I was trying to delay the pain. And so I didn't file electronically. I mailed it. I don't know what I was thinking. But one of the things that happened was, and this is no exaggeration, it took forever for that check to be cash. I had to mail to the IRS facility in Kansas City, Missouri, center of the country, and it literally took almost 6 months for that check to be cashed.
I know that, Harold. It has gotten somewhat better right now, but again, I say I hope the IRS is going to have a heart, because some things are going to be late, and it's not necessarily your fault or my fault. That's just the way it is during COVID.
So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, I know you're going to suggest, you know, electronic filing always the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what else is new this year?
Yeah. There are many things. I want people to take advantage of direct pay.
What is direct pay? If
you're going to owe the Internal Revenue Service, consider going to IRS.gov and in the search box, type in direct pay. It's a fairly non-invasive way to pay your bill. You can pay your estimated taxes. You can pay if you have a bill due to your 2021 tax return. The options are many, and I would strongly suggest that people use the IRS direct pay to pay those liabilities. I'm telling you, it's easy, and they won't run into the issues that many others, including you, ran into last year, which is, you know, it taking 2, 3, 6 months to cash that check. Go to IRS.gov, and in the search engine, type in direct pay. And direct pay will take you through the process. The only thing that I can see that may throw people off is at the very beginning, when you get into IRS direct pay, it's going to ask you for the verification year. The verification year is going to be pretty much any year, 2020, 2019, 2018, the verification year. That's not the current year's tax return. It's the verification year, which may be 2020, 2019, 2018. Past that, Harold, that process is tremendously easy.
You mentioned paying estimated taxes. Is there a set amount or a set percentage in this process, or what would you recommend?
There's not necessarily a set percentage as such. But if you are one who owes, you know, a tremendous amount of money, and of course, tremendous is all relative. But if you, let's say you owe $12,000 when you file your tax return.
Yeah, let's not speak that into existence.
So you're, Harold, you listen.
I'm sure. Yeah, you've seen
anyway,
it.
So you owe $12,000. At the very least, if you think you are going to owe $12,000 again when you file your 2022 tax return, divide up that $12,000 and pay $3,000 per quarter. Because whether you realize it or not, if you pay late, even if you pay on time, if you pay that $12,000 on time, get this, Harold, the IRS is going to hit you with a failure to pay estimated taxes penalty. So you paid that $12,000, but the IRS is saying, yeah, but you should have paid it in equal installments on April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and then January 15th. And guess what? You have almost no recourse but to pay that failure to pay estimated tax penalty on time. Mm-hmm. I hope I said that right. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. This is not a fun conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Theodore Prelo, Teddy the Tax Man. We are trying to keep you from having a big tax headache, perhaps saving you some money, trying to find some money during this tax season. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lamar, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Lamar. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hi, Theodore. Thanks for having this conversation, guys. Wanted to know, should I expect my tax returns to come back late this year? I filed on March 11th, and I haven't heard, seen anything.
See, Harold, and you thought this wasn't going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, right. Lamar. Yeah, hey, Lamar, I hope
yes, sir.
That you I hope your return was e-filed. If it was e-filed, the IRS tells us to tell our clients that it could take about 3 weeks to be direct deposited into your account. Right. So look at the 3 week time frame. And if you don't get it in 3 weeks, you can call or you can check to see what the status of your refund is. But I'm going to tell you, Lamar, I would not bank on getting it in 3 weeks just because of what has been happening over the last 2 years, man. And I'm sorry to give you that report. You know I am. But I want you to be realistic in your expectations.
I will try. Thank you so much.
Okay, Lamar, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your taxes with Teddy the Tax Man. If you have a comment or a question, and I have some of my own, but give us a call. Again, Teddy is here to answer your questions. Let's talk to Suzanne, calling from D.C. Suzanne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm just like the previous caller, except I haven't got my 2020 tax refund. I filed it in March of 2020, I guess. I forget. But anyway, it's been over a year, and I haven't got my refund. And when I go online to that app, they say that it's not even in the system. And I've been able to call the IRS 3 times. And they say that as long as I'm not in the system, they can't say what's going on. But they tell me not to refile. I mean, what's the deal? Can they come back to me later on and say they never got it?
Goodness. Hey, Suzanne, so are you expecting a refund?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, a lot,
okay.
Too.
And is it safe to assume that you mailed your tax return in, or did you e-file?
Yes, unfortunately, I did mail it, but I mailed it I filed in February. It was out by March the 15th. And
go ahead, Teddy.
I'm sorry about that, Suzanne. That's going to be a tough one. I think you're going to be in a place where nobody can answer your questions. I really do feel badly for you. I think you're going to have to wait it out. But whomever gave you the idea that you should not refile was right. If you refile in any way, shape, or form, it could really mess some things up. I'm sorry that happened to you, but I think you're just going to have to wait this one out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Suzanne, thank you
anytime.
So much for your phone call. Before I go back to the phone lines, Teddy, I do want to talk about at least some of the, you know, the top one, two, or three changes, if any, that there have been that could help or hurt people when they file their taxes this year.
Yeah. Let's talk about that advanced child tax credit. The advanced child tax credit was dispersed to people who had the child tax credit in the year prior. So Congress said, look, we're going to send this out to these folks, and they did. They did a good job. Folks got money on a monthly basis, but what they have to realize is this. That amount that they received has to be reported on the tax return because, again, that was the advanced child tax credit. You got it before preparing the tax return. So now, when you file the 2021 tax return, it'll be, let's say the child tax credit was $3,000, and you got $1,500 already, your $3,000 minus the $1,500, the only thing you're going to get inside of your tax return is the $1,500 worth of child tax credit. You have to know that, and please share that with your tax advisor. Otherwise, your tax return, the IRS is going to send a letter saying, hey, look, there's an error. And the first thing people do is they say, oh, my tax advisor messed up. No, probably not. What probably happened was you probably did not give the tax advisor the right information. That is very, very important, Harold. And I've seen problem after problem, and it doesn't matter what state the taxpayer is in. My colleague, I'm the leader of a 2,000-plus member tax group. It's called the Tax Professionals of America. And we've been saying, hey, my client came in without the information. My client came. Here's another one. The stimulus. Harold, the stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
If a person got stimulus money in 2021, then that amount, it's not taxable. I repeat, it's not taxable, But why? The reason why we ask our clients for that is because Congress said and the IRS said, look, if you did not get your stimulus, report that as such on your tax return, and we will send you your stimulus inside of your tax return. Those are two major, major situations. And then look at those folks. Got to remind people, since 2018, many folk have not been able to itemize. The standard deduction has been increased. So please be careful and plan accordingly for next year, please.
The standard deduction has been increased for 2022, but not 2021 filing.
Right, for 2021, because we're not worried about 2022 right now.
Right, exactly.
We're dealing with the 2021 return. That's
yeah,
right.
So no joy this year with the standard deduction.
No joy in Mudville.
Yeah, absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Teddy, the tax man, getting the best advice that you can get to make sure that Uncle Sam does not jump all over you this year. We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, hang on. That includes Sid, Teddy, Cancer. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking with Teddy the Taxman ahead of the April 8th. 18th tax deadline. This is always a difficult conversation for so many people. Mm-hmm. The tax laws change and they're always moving the goalposts, for lack of a better term. But we are here to give you the best information that we can to make sure that you don't have any tax problems. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sid, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call, Harold. Really
sure.
Great show, as always. I'm going to try to be as quick as possible, and thank you for this is a very important session you're doing, by the way. My situation really messed up in that I always used to get a refund, but then I guess I didn't realize they changed the laws from 2018, so they took away the exemptions, independent, and all that stuff. So I used to always file my taxes after the date, because IRS always told me you have 2 or 3 years, or whatever. But anyway, long story short, my 2016 taxes, IRS entered as 2017. And when I got the check, I mean, I didn't deposit the check, believe it or not, and then I found that it was already expired. And then I got a reissue check, but they have not corrected that mistake, and it's been over 2 years now. And every 60 days, I get this automated letter saying, we're working on it. I even called them, and nobody's able to help me. So I even went to a local office. She couldn't do anything. So I don't know what to do. The correction to my 2016 taxes has not been, it was entered as 2017. And I also filed 2017 taxes. So they got both of my taxes. And I was advised, each IRS person gives you a different advice. I filed them twice. Like they say, resend it in. So I did resend my 2016 and my 2017, and I didn't get it. But the ironic thing is my 2018 and 19, they deposited my check within 2 weeks, I believe it or not. And then when I called them, they hadn't even processed my forms. And they said, the check goes in a different place, but the forms are processed in a different place. I'm like, what? I mean, you're putting everything together in one package. That didn't make any sense. So what can I do as far as my 2016 or 2017? Like, they haven't made a correction, a simple error, data entry error by them. And I don't know what to do. It's been like 2 years now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, I got to tell you, and I'll speak on Harold's behalf, we feel for you. That right there is a complicated, complicated situation. And I guarantee you, I began my 42nd year in practice on February 28th, my 42nd, and I've never heard that in my life. Sid, I want you to reach out to the taxpayer advocate. That's what I want you to do. Go to irs.gov, and up in the search box, type in taxpayer advocate. I'm telling you, that's going to be your best bet to get something like this straightened out. And for all others, having that problem or a similar problem, a taxpayer advocate is where you need to go. That group does not work on behalf of the IRS. That group works on behalf of the taxpayer. And that right there is significant. I mean, they truly do. So, Sid, I hope you are within earshot. Please, please reach out to the taxpayer advocate, and I'll bet you you'll get some results.
Okay.
And is it a free service, by the way?
It's a free service, sir.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so
right,
much.
Sid, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cassius, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
I kind of think the person that was before me kind of answered my question.
Really?
Or, yeah.
Wow.
He was saying, in my situation, I should get in contact with IRS.gov. Because I had a situation where I was due a refund in 2012, and I went away, and I was away for 5 years. And then I still haven't filed. And then for 21, I was also due a refund, and I haven't filed yet. So I was wondering, what should I do?
Oh, definitely file for 2021. That 2012, that's going to be a sticky situation, Cassius, but I think your best bet, coincidentally, I guess, is the taxpayer advocate. They may come back and say, well, the statute of limitations is gone, what's your proof, and things like that. But let me tell you, if there's anybody out there that can help you, it's going to be the taxpayer advocate. That's a free service. You know, just like I told Sid, that might be your best bet. Because if you come and pay me, you're going to pay me a lot of money. And under those kind of circumstances, well, I'm just being real. And under those kind of circumstances, I don't even know because it's 10 years. It's been 10 years, and I don't know how much I can do for you.
Yeah. Okay, right. Cassius.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a couple of questions before I go back to the phone line. So, BJ and Jerome, just stick with me. I'm going to get to you in just a bit. But I wanted to make sure that we touched on a couple of other really important things, such as the earned income tax credit. We often talk about that, leaving money on the table. What is that? And and what do people need to know?
Yeah, for the earned income tax credit, that is one of the biggest tax credits out there other than the adoption credit. And so for the earned income credit, it's generally a lower income taxpayer who has a dependent, all right, and a child dependent under a certain age. So that person can file the tax return, and let's say under normal circumstances that refund is $100, and that earned income credit could get you another $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Harold, get that.
$5,000?
Yeah, I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. So if you have a child dependent and you're among the lower income taxpayers, the government has set it up such that earned income credit, which is different from the child tax credit, that earned income credit is sitting there waiting for you to claim it. And every year, there's always some kind of talk about, one side of the house saying, oh, we're going to get rid of it. And then the other side saying, no, you can't get rid of it. That's always in the background as an argument. But that's out there, and it does help the working families who deserve it, Harold. It really does.
Okay. And also, what do you suggest for people who are really trying to reduce their tax liability? I mean, that's always been, a big question. You know, after the 2016 tax plan, after that was, passed on the Hill, a lot of deductions went away. Are any deductions coming back? Have they come back? The middle class has really been reamed over this.
You're on it. You're on it, Harold. You are on it.
Yeah, because I'm part of it.
Yes. Let's do this. Contribute more to your 401k, or if you're a federal worker, a TSP, or if you work for a nonprofit, a 403b, or if you're a local government worker, the 457. Let me tell you why. Because every dollar that you contribute to that retirement plan lowers your taxable income. So people don't get it when I say it like that, but how about I say it like this? Wouldn't you rather pay yourself than the IRS?
Mm-hmm.
People understand that. So what you want to do is you want to contribute more and more. Obviously, the main reason why you're contributing to a retirement plan is so that you can have something when that time comes about. But if you can do that, you got money put away for retirement, and you can lower your federal tax liability. Isn't that great? But wait a minute. Before you answer, you can lower your state tax liability in many instances. That's not always the case, depending on what state you're in. Like Pennsylvania doesn't honor that. But my thing is this. You are, in essence, paying yourself as opposed to paying the federal government. Who wouldn't take advantage of a plan like that? Also, the other reason to contribute to that 401k or that TSP, because I know there are a lot of federal workers in the D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland area. I know that. Many of them are listening to us right now. Contribute. Contribute more. Contribute to the traditional side. Should you contribute to the Roth side? Yeah. But for right now, what we're talking about is lowering your current tax liability, and that's where it's at. You want to lower your current tax liability. What you do, you contribute more and more to that 401k, that TSP, or 403b.
But not your IRA. If you have an IRA, does that matter?
The IRA is a different story. Yes, you should contribute to an IRA if you can afford it. But generally speaking, if you are already covered by a retirement plan at work, 401k, 403b, 457, TSP, and you contribute to a traditional IRA, chances are you're not going to be able to deduct it because you're already covered by a certain retirement plan. But am I saying not to contribute? No. I'm saying take advantage of that. If you've got the income, if you've got the money to do it, yes. Because nowadays, pension plans are gone, Harold. They are all gone. So the government is saying, look, you have to do it yourself. And those plans that were around when our parents were around to help out and things like that, they're gone. They're gone. So it is even more imperative that we prepare for our own retirements and not necessarily rely on the old job.
Okay.
Goodness gracious.
Let's go to BJ calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, BJ. That was Jerome. Jerome calling from D.C. BJ, we will get to you. Jerome, what's on your mind?
I got two questions.
Sure.
I'm an Uber driver, and I've never been audited before in my whole life. I'm a 60-year-old man. So I got audited. I got an audit for 2019. It says they need to see more receipts from the Schedule C. But my other question is, why are they auditing a regular person when they're 2 years backed up with taxes? They should take those people and have them work on the other taxes.
Like we used to say.
That don't make sense to me.
Yeah, like we used to say back in the day, Jerome, too much like right. Teddy, first of all, the Schedule C issue that he's talking about.
You know what? Thank goodness for Jerome, because our D.C. listeners say I never give them any love. The small business owners say I never give them any love. I'm thankful for Jerome, coming in saying this. So look, yes, they are going to audit you, but you need to make sure that you have the proper information, receipts, a mileage logbook in your case. I know if you got audited, Jerome, I know they asked you for a mileage logbook. And so you have to keep your mileage logbook. Here's the word the Internal Revenue Service uses, contemporaneously. Contemporaneously means as you go. It means you're not going to go get to February 1st and then try to recreate the mileage log for all of last year. So in fairness, Jerome, what they're asking for is what you should be able to provide them. From here on in, I want you to keep a mileage log. I want you to keep proof of all your expenses, the water that you offer your clients, the candy, the snacks, and all that kind of stuff, because honestly, that's what you are supposed to do. And now, so let me talk about something else, kind of sort of related to this. Everybody says, oh, I only make $30,000. Why are they coming after me? If I made $100,000, I would pay, and I'd be glad to. But guess what? The people who are making $100,000 are saying, why are they auditing me? If I made $200,000, I'd be glad to pay. Well, the people who are making $200,000 are saying, so you get what I'm saying? It doesn't matter the level. Everybody's saying the same thing. If I made more, I'd be glad to pay my debt. I'd be glad to pay my tax liability. Everybody says that, and that's not true. That's not true. So what you need to do is where you are right now, make sure that you are in full compliance with the Internal Revenue Service, realizing that they can ask you for any proof at any time. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, Jerome, thank you so much for your phone call. Now let's go to BJ calling from Maryland. BJ, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. So I always filed my taxes late. So I did my taxes in October.
Uh-huh.
Still have not yet received a refund.
Mm-hmm. So you would do a refund. Did you mail it in?
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. BJ, just please be prepared to wait. Because I don't know whether you heard us at the beginning of the show, but the IRS is really backed up with mail, whether it's tax returns, other responses to the Internal Revenue Service. They are really, really backed up, man. So I hope that you weren't in dire need of that refund, because at this point, literally, no one knows when you're going to get it. Hang in there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All righty.
BJ, thank you so much. Let's go to Angela calling from Maryland. Angela, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hello to your guests. Very good show, by the way.
Thank you.
Just a quick story. First, those people are thinking about mailing in anything. Please don't even think about it.
Mm.
Don't even do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had owed some tax. This is before COVID. I was going to pay some money off the couple of years I owed, but I was able to do it, and COVID hit, and then I wasn't getting any money in. I'm a Schedule C person, so I wasn't getting even unemployment. I was unemployed from March to July and got no income. I was living strictly on my savings. Yes, nothing. I was when I finally got money in, I had like $1.03 left in my account from paying off my mortgage and everything. It was crazy.
Goodness.
So at any rate, during that time, IRS was so friendly to me that they combined all the years I had together. You see, so now over this really big bill, I would tell everybody, keep every piece of paper from the years that you owe. Don't throw it away. Have your own like little tax packet for yourself. If you look at the top, it should say like a case number or an ID number. Pay that year down and pay the biggest one down first and make sure that you call it in, like they were saying, call the tax pay, federal tax pay, whatever that is.
Direct
pay.
Pay
on your credit card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a credit card, like you said, I don't have a credit card, I have a bank card, whatever money that you have, buy a debit card, then add that and use it just as your tax card. Because what will happen is, and I have a question. I was paying off all my tax years, and my biggest tax year was 2019. But I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm paying enough. I was so happy. I was like, yay, I'm paying it all down. And then the vendor said to me, oh, well, Ms. Thomas, you can't pay this down. You can't pay them more than two payments per tax year. I was like, what do you mean? This is what is kicking back to me. So I finally called another vendor and said, yes, that's the Fed's rule, not our rule. So then I end up.
So Angela, let me stop you because you said a short story.
I'm sorry, you're right.
No, that's all right. I feel
but
like
I'm just saying, do electronically, because if you put it in the mail, it's just out there in the ether.
Yeah, because I was starting to think that you and I were involved. That was a really long story. But,
no problem. Thank you,
Angela. Angela, thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, Teddy. Some other questions. What can people, for example, who don't have children, what can they write off now? If you pay child support or if you pay alimony, is that something that you can write off? If I know that if you have an at-home business, can you write off some of that stuff? I know there are a lot of things that I, along with some of my colleagues, used to be able to write off as it was related to our work, whether I had to get new headphones or if I, needed, voice lessons, or if I needed to buy some kind of equipment.
Yeah, let me help you out.
Yeah, help us out here.
Yeah, 2018, all that stuff went away. There were situations in which a person, I'll give you a good example. Police officers, they could write off their union dues. They could write off their range fees. They could write off their supplies, things like that, gone. Auto mechanics, they can write off their $10,000 toolbox. Those kind of supplies. They can write off their ASE courses, which are special courses that auto technicians are required to take. They could do that before the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So 2018, all that stuff went away. I mean, gone, and probably never to return. I want to tell you just a little bit more about that, and we'll get right to what you're getting ready to talk about. The reason why that all went away, Harold, you probably never heard this, but that section of the tax return was one of the biggest sources of fraud out there.
Mm.
Period. You probably never knew that, but it was. I can tell you, as a tax advisor, some of the returns that I would see coming into my office from another. From a person who may have done it himself, him or herself, or somebody who just was not following the laws, it was, when I talk about egregious, that's what I'm talking about. A secretary who makes $40,000 a year showing that she spent $22,000 for tools and equipment to do her job. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. And what you have to understand is the IRS is, and I keep saying this, the IRS is not some big red machine in the sky. The IRS is people like Harold Fisher, Teddy the Tax Man, Sid. That's who the IRS is. So they have their ear to the ground. They know what's going on out here.
Right. So what can you write off? We know what's gone, but what do we have?
Okay. The mortgage interest is still out there. The property tax is still out there. Unfortunately, state taxes out there, but only to the tune of $10,000. So somebody would say, oh, you know what? No problem. I pay about $8,000 in my state withholding, but I also got a $7,000 real estate tax bill. Ugh, sorry, because the real estate taxes, the taxes withheld, the taxes that you paid to the state a year prior for another situation, all that combined, Harold, check this out. All that combined cannot equal more than $10,000, or you can't claim more than $10,000 of it. That's the unfair part, because it's not. And look, I don't know a whole lot of people who have low real estate tax bills anymore. It just doesn't happen. So that real estate tax bill probably not going to get written off, and that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. What about, as I said, for people, thankfully not me, but for people who pay alimony or child support, what about that?
All right, child support, unfortunately, nothing's going to happen with that. Child support is never going to be deductible on the tax return. I've been in practice 42 years, going into 42 years now. I've never seen that as a deduction. Now let's talk about alimony. In the past, it was such that the payer of the alimony could deduct that on his or her tax return in the adjustment section of the tax return, which was the last section of the tax return before you turned over to page two. You had to report the person's name, social security number, and the amount that was paid to that person. But the tax law changed and said that if there were any divorce decrees that were subsequent to that particular period, any new divorce decrees, guess what, Harold? The payer could no longer deduct alimony, and the recipient did not have to include it on, okay, let me use this pronoun, her tax return, because that's
you know, usually what it
part,
is. Yeah,
yeah, that's usually what it is. So people don't jump down my throat. That's just the way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess we have to play that song, "Cheaper to Keep Her."
So, good one.
But what if you now? What if you have a business operating out of your home?
Ooh, good. Business use of home is always something that that small business owner should look into. Business use of home. When the tax advisor is sitting there doing your tax return, he or she is going to ask you, hey, do you have a room in your house that is strictly dedicated to your business? If that answer is yes, then he's going to say, hey, you can deduct a portion of the repairs in your home, no matter where it was done in the home, the insurance, as an insurance, the mortgage interest, the property taxes, the utilities, and truthfully, it's not so much that you're going to get a great big deduction just out of business use of home, but where that helps is when you're determining the mileage that you can write off. So that's good. So if you can write off your Comcast, you can write off your gas and electric and your mortgage interest and your property taxes and your hazard insurance, and then on top of that, you can write off, chances are you'll be able to write off more of your mileage. Hey, do it. But you have to make it such that in that office, that when we talk about business use of home, one of the criteria is this. It cannot be a place that you can regularly walk through to get to the other side of the house. That's one of the criteria that needs to be met. So you want to make sure that. You want to make sure that it is exclusive use. And I'm talking about strictly for your business. It cannot be a bedroom where, you know, somebody lays his or her head every night. No, it can't be a multi-use room. It's got to be for your business and your business alone. Keep it like that, and I think you'll be okay.
So take out the dirty clothes hamper out of that office.
Dirty clothes hamper got to go.
Yeah. I can see that. Now, you know, not to shoot our certified tax preparers in the foot, but you know, there are a lot of people, seniors, for example, and some others who are on the lower spectrum of the income or lower income mm-hmm. spectrum. Mm-hmm. Where do you go to get your taxes done for free or at a reduced price?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to answer that. I'm glad you asked that. There's a Vita site near just about every one of us.
What kind
Vita
of site?
Vita stands for Voluntary Income Tax Assistance. So if you are a lower income taxpayer, yeah, there's a good chance that you can go to that site and have your tax return prepared absolutely free. But what I recommend is call the Vita site first. Well, how do you find a Vita site? Hey, you know, nowadays all you got to do is hit your cell phone.
Yeah,
but
Google
if you're
it,
an
yeah.
old school person like me, go to the irs.gov, type in Vita site or VITA, and some should come up. And you can call them and say, hey, look, I earned this amount of money. Can I have my tax return prepared for free?
Now, what if you owe and don't have the money?
If you owe and you don't have the money, you can always set up an installment agreement. Yes, so you say you can send in the form 9465. And generally speaking, when you send in that form, send it in with your tax return and say, look, I can pay X amount every month, and the IRS will gladly, generally speaking, the IRS will send you back that letter saying, yep, we accept your installment agreement. your first payment is due on this, that, and the other. I'm glad you brought that up, Harold, because what you want to do is you want to honor that installment agreement and make sure that you can pay it off before this time next year, because if you owe this time next year, the IRS is not going to be, I'm not going to say they're going to be reluctant to accept the installment agreement, but they could very well say, look, you have defaulted, and now we're coming after you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy.
Yep.
One of these years, we're going to have this conversation, and there's going to be some good news.
But it's not this year.
Not this year. And let us hope that maybe it'll be within thy lifetime. Teddy the Tax Man, thank you so very much for sharing with us, and I will be in touch.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to do it, Harold.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, April 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.